Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Wednesday night. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore the Word of God together. I just want to thank each and every one of you for coming and joining us on tonight. And I want you to know that it's an act of commitment, and God honors it. Our lesson tonight is Jesus paid the price, all to him we owe. We're coming out the book of Romans, and we're in the 8th chapter, and we're going to expound on verse 1 through 9 on tonight. I want you guys to be encouraged, because we live in the world, but we're not of the world. And there's so much going on. We have to be prayerful for our country as we deal with the shutdown. There are so many facets that's being affected by this shutdown, some that you can't even imagine, that is giving people fears and doubts and unrest and uncertainties in the things of their normal life and living. But it's our job, the body of Christ, come together and pray one for another. You know, I believe that our peace in the midst of this storm is the fact, is in the fact that knowing that God is in control. And we have to hold on to the confession of our faith. But I'm asking that everyone be prayerful about the different things that are going on, because the Bible talks about when we come together and pray, how God moves on behalf of the saints. And I'm asking all of us to be prayerful one for another, for our country and our leaders and our churches and the body of Christ. You know, everything in the world is just so upside down and topsy-turvy, where things that are wrong, you know, people are using all the energy to have, all of the energy they have to make you think it's all right. But we have to use the Bible, the Word of God, which is our moral compass, to lead and guide us in the things of life. The Bible is our daily instruction for our daily living, and we should refer to it and use it as we go along in this thing called life. But I want to tell you tonight, just be encouraged. God is in control, and he will work all things out for our good. Hold on to the confession of your faith, and you will truly make it through. Again, our lesson tonight is Jesus Christ paid the price, and everything we owe to him. Thank God for Jesus. I'm going to play a song right now, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to go to the throne of grace. And I'm asking that you guys be prayerful, because God may put it on your heart for one or more than one of you to pray tonight. And after we listen to the song and we pray and make our petition known unto God, we're going to come back and explore the lesson. Be blessed and be prayerful.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight, but somebody may be crying, but I come to let you know that God can make it all right. Somebody don't know where the children are.
that was be encouraged. We have to encourage ourselves because we are living in trying times. And as many would like to say, we're living in the last days. With that being said, we need to go to the throne of grace in prayer. And if someone would like to pray tonight, if God is putting on your heart to pray, please press the one button on your phone. And if not, I'll go ahead on and pray. And we'll go and explore the word of God together. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again. We have come to your throne of grace. Lord, please just be with us and guide us and protect us. Lord, I pray that the word that go forth on the night be encouragement to someone. Lord, I pray that the word that go out tonight can dry some weeping eyes. Lord, I pray that the word that go forth on the night can erase some fears of the mind. And I pray that the word that go out can dry some weeping eyes and regulate some hearts, dear God, that they may just continue in the race that they're given. Lord, I ask you that you just open up the ears of the people that's listening to the program, dear God. Open up their hearts that they could receive the word that the Holy Ghost is going to give on the night. Because, Lord, I decrease and I ask that you increase. And I pray, Holy Ghost, that you have your way with this lesson on tonight. I submit unto you, Holy Ghost. Dear God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you promised to do in all of our lives. Thank you for your son, Jesus, and thank you for your Holy Spirit. And all these blessings and others, I ask in Jesus' name. Glory be to your holy name, dear God, because you're worthy. Worthy is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I just want to say thank you, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, some more callers have called in, and I'm going to say the word of God, the title of the lesson today, and give the scripture, and then we're going to go right into the word. The title of the lesson is that Jesus paid the price, all to him we owe, coming from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter through the 9th. As always, I give background, and the background for tonight is going to be on the book of Romans and Paul, the writer of the book. You know, before we begin this lesson, certain things you should know. You know, when you get ready to study the word of God, you know, like I asked you to read the whole script, the whole chapter, and I also sometime ask you to read the whole book, and sometime I ask you to read three chapters before, sometime two chapters behind, because that's what studying is. A lot of people often tell me, Sister Diane, I read chapters, but I read chapters or verses and I don't understand. And some people pick up their book and read three chapters and close it. You know, you got to study to show yourself approved, as a workman need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. And so I give background to put you right there in the picture so you could get some understanding from what is being said, that you could ponder on it. Because like I always tell you, I cannot give you revelation or illumination. It's the Holy Ghost that does that. But he does that with what you take in and you ponder and you meditate and you think upon. And then he gives you that revelation and sometime that bright illumination. But I wanted you to know that the book of Romans, we have to look at the author, and we know the author of the book of Romans was Paul. And, you know, Paul was known as Saul. You see, y'all know the history of Paul, and if you don't, I'm giving you some food for thought to look it up. But Paul was an ambassador that went out against the Christians because of the confusion of the word, because Paul believed in God, but the religion he was in, which was Judaism, believed that Christ wasn't a savior, and that was blaspheme against God to want to serve Jesus Christ. Little did they know God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is one. Hallelujah. You see, Paul was his Jewish name, and Paul is his Roman name. Now watch this. When Paul got the assignment from God, and, you know, God met him on the road to Damascus and all of that happened, and God called him, and Paul responds. So after Paul responded to the call of Jesus, Paul decided to change his name from Saul to Paul. Because, you see, his assignment was for the Romans, and this is a letter to the Romans. And the Romans were Gentiles, and the Greeks were Gentiles. So Paul used the word, his name, Paul, instead of Saul, so that he could associate with them better. I want you to know that God, or Jesus Christ, didn't change his name. You know, some people in the Bible, God changed their name. He took Abram and made him Abraham, and Sarah and made her Sarah. And, you know, he took Jacob and named him and changed his name to Israel. So a lot of times people think that God changed Saul's name to Paul, but Paul did it, and I just explained the reason why. You see, Paul was an attorney, and you got to realize when God picked these different men to write the Bible, it was 40 men from different backgrounds, different walks of life. God chose them. The Bible is written by man, but it's inspired by God. And if you take a look at each author and you take a look at their writing styles and the genres and the way they put it together, you could understand why God chose them. You see, Paul was an attorney, and Paul, in writing to the Romans, was able to present the case of the gospel clearly and forthrightly in his letter to the Romans. You see, before the day of Pentecost, Judaism was the religion that was practiced by the Jews. You see, but on the day of Pentecost, the prophecy of the gift of the Holy Ghost was fulfilled as Jesus had told him. You know, Jesus told him when he left that I would send the Holy Ghost. And he's saying the Holy Ghost would do everything for you that I would do for you if I was still here. Hallelujah. Jesus told him, he said, he's going to be your comforter, your teacher. He would guide them, and he would also convict them. You see, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was dispersed, and many received the indwelling of the Holy Ghost because they believed. And this event represented the birth of the early church. Now, for those who don't know, we living in a church age. You know, there's many different dispensations of time, and there are different ages. And this is the church age that started there in Pentecost and is not going to end until Jesus come back for his church. You see, at the beginning of the church age, several churches were formed, and we are still living in a church age today. But when Jesus come back for his church, I want you to know that we are the church. When he come back for his church, we're not talking about denominations. We're not talking about religion. And we sure not talking about church buildings. But we're talking about all believers in Christ at that time. That's going to be taken up in that thing called the rapture. You see, the good news they received was all new to them. And Paul had the task to teach them the good news that they were no longer under the law. But with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we are now living under grace. We are under the dispensation of time of grace. We was under the dispensation of time of law. And then we move after Christ rose from the dead to the dispensation of grace, and we live in the church age. You can imagine the opposition, the confusion, the unbelief, the lack of understanding, and just plain unacceptance by the people. I'm talking about the Jews and the Gentiles when this gospel was being preached in its early stages. You got to remember, after Pentecost, some of the believers went home, and that's how churches got started in all of these places. That's why when you see Paul, who wrote 13 epistles, and they're also called letters to the churches, he wrote to the church of Philippians, to the Galatians, the church in Corinth, to the Corinthians, and the church in Thessalonica, and to the Thessalonians. That's what all of these letters are about. Paul is writing letters to straighten something out because they received the gift of the Holy Ghost, went back, and was teaching the way they can. And the Bible tells us about false prophets and false teaching and misinterpretation of the word of God. So Paul had to write the letters to straighten some things out and give clarity to the people. And tonight we in the book that he wrote to the Romans. So, you know, the letter to the Romans explained that salvation is offered through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's no longer by the law. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. He was teaching them that no more animal sacrifices are needed. You know, you don't have to be circumcised, which is made by hand, but you're going to have a new circumcision of the heart made by the Holy Ghost. He told them that nothing that they could do in and of themselves could help them to earn it. It is a free gift from God. You know, Paul presents the good news, which is the gospel. He tried to explain that it's available to all, regardless of a person's sins or heritage. You know, because the Jews thought it was only good for the Jews, because remember, they was the chosen people. So, you know, they didn't want to share it with the Gentiles. But Paul's saying it belonged to all who would believe and accept Jesus Christ. The letter to the Romans stands as the clearest and most systematic presentation of Christian doctrine in all the scriptures. You can find the Romans' road to salvation throughout the book of Romans. Think about what Paul was doing. Them people in Rome, some of them had, you know, began to believe, and, you know, he was clearing it up, and he was giving them food for thought, and he was giving them doctrine, and he was trying to get them to understand. You see, on the cross, Jesus took the punishment we deserve for our sins. He did not deserve to die, but he willingly took our place and experienced death for us. You see, Jesus' death was a substitution. What did it stand for? He became the righteous for the unrighteous. He took on innocent for the guilty. He stood and canceled. You know, he was the perfect for the corrupt. Let me read that again. Jesus' death was a substitution. The righteous for the unrighteous. That's where it I go. The innocent for the guilty and the perfect for the corrupt. You see, once Adam sinned, we were all placed on death row. Do you know that? Because sin brought on death. And what? It was one man's sin, Adam. God said in the word of God that, you know, he wouldn't let us all die in our sin because of one man's sin. So as one man's sin brought in debt, he needed one sinless man to take away that debt penalty. So a human sacrifice that was sinless without spots and blemishes had to be made for mankind. God allowed himself to be wrapped in flesh. He became Jesus Christ. God was manifested in the flesh and crucified, allowed himself to be crucified on the cross for us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost being one. How you like that? I can't hear you, but somebody need to be shouting. You see, once we accept Christ as our Savior, we receive the verdict, not guilty, and became free from sin. Paul made it clear that a believer's pursuit of God doesn't stop with salvation. What's Paul saying? He's saying, yeah, you know, plenty of people, you have to ask them, I'm saved, now what? Yes, once saved, always saved, we'll receive eternal life. But we need to be about our Father's business because of the free gift that he gave us. Because Paul said it don't stop after receiving salvation, but it continue as each of us is being sanctified, made holy, as we pursuit and following God. We have work to do, y'all. Paul's treating of these issues offer a logical and complete presentation of how a person can be saved from the penalty of sin and the power of his or her sin. You see, the book of Romans tells us about who God is, what he has done, and the promises he has given us for our future. Do you know God's promises to you? And you can't know them if you don't read the word of God. You see, sometimes if you knew a promise of God and something bad come your way and you get all discombobulated and have to sit down and just hold your hand up, want to put your hand in the sand, and if you knew all of the many promises that God has in store for you and you could think on it and meditate it, it could build you up in your adversity, storm, and situation, and it could bring you joy in the midst of the storm. You see, the book of Romans also tell us about Jesus, what his death accomplished and granted salvation for all that who accepted. It tells us about the Holy Ghost living inside of us, convicting, teaching, instructing us in the things of God. But I want you to know that the book of Romans also tells us about ourselves, what we would be like without Christ. Helpless and sentenced to death, and who we are after trusting in Christ's grace. I want you to know tonight, it is all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, that no weapons that will form against you will prosper. The word of God tell you, you know, that you won't have problems. But with the word of God, you can work yourself out. You see, this letter to the Romans that Paul wrote, this letter was good for the Romans then, and it is good for us today. In your study time, please study that you can show yourself approved, a workman, and learn to rightly divide the word of truth. Because Jesus paid the price, and all to him we owe. And that's the background. And with saying that, our printed scripture for tonight is coming from the book of Romans. And here in this 8th chapter of Romans, as Paul was teaching about all these different things I told you about in the background, he now gets to the 8th chapter and on a verse, first verse, and I'm going to read the first, second, and third all the way to the 5th verse. Paul says, open your Bible, you guys. We're in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the first verse. We're going to the 5th verse. Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. You got to remember that sin, the penalty for sin is death. And we was all destined to die. But Jesus took away the penalty of sin, which is death for us. And Paul is saying there's no condemnation now. And if we look at 3, it says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, for that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You know, in our body, we have two parts. You know, we have flesh, which encompasses our body. And when Jesus Christ, we accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit indwelled our body. And the Spirit is living in us, asking us to do one thing, and the flesh is wanting another thing. And that's the warfare that goes on in our body daily. And I come to tell you tonight, sometime the flesh wins, and sometime the Spirit wins. And I know they got some people who think they, you know, have arrived and achieved, that they do no wrong. But I come to tell you, sin is sin. And any sin that is committed is through the flesh. And sometimes the flesh do win. But it's our job to keep, you know, killing our flesh daily. And it's a process until we die. But Paul said, even though the flesh may win sometime and you may slip and fall and do a sin or make a mistake that is sinful, he said, there ain't no condemnation if you are in Christ. You see, all people have been condemned due to Adam's disobedience. And watch this, and our rebellious against God. You see, to truly understand this scripture, we must examine what the word condemned means. So I went to the Webster Dictionary, and it says, sentenced to a particular punishment, especially death, officially declared unfit. Anything that is condemned is officially declared unfit for use. It also said an unfavorable and adverse judgment, and it also indicates strong disapproval of. And it censures to pronounce to be guilty. Now that sounds like a good description of us while we was yet in our sin, condemned to death. So I even went a little further, and I went to the Bible Dictionary, and it reads, an act of pronouncing someone guilty after weighing the evidence. After weighing the evidence. So when Adam sinned and the penalty of sin was dead, it was already there and it was already stated, and the evidence showed that it did happen, and so the verdict had to be guilty. So we was all destined to die. However, God's grace offered us justification by faith in his son, Jesus, for the condemnation of our sins. You see, we are justified by God we receive redemption. He redeemed us, y'all. He placed us in line to receive salvation, y'all. Because Christ's blood took away our sins once and for all, we are saved by grace. And I ain't talking about something you earned on your own, that you knew and loved God so much you earned, you know, your salvation. No, you can't earn it. You can't be that good. And you was undeserved to receive it, but he gave it as a gift. And it was because of his favor that he allowed you to receive it. God said he wasn't going to give you no gift like this, and he wasn't going to let his son die on the cross where anyone could come up and boast about what they did. God said it's not where no man could boast. Yes, you have to accept Christ as your Savior, but the plan for redemption and the plan to see you through and the plan to open the gates for you to eternity has, you can't do that. So if we put our complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work, we are found not guilty. It's almost like they say, let them go free. What did those, you know, what would those words mean to you if you was on death row? Y'all, we got to all realize we were all on death row until Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice, a sin offering for our sins. You see, in the Old Testament time, animal sacrifices were continually offered at the temple because man continually sinned. You see, the sacrifice would show the Israelites the seriousness of sin. God put that in to introduce them to sin. You see, blood had to be shed before sin could be pardoned. But the animal sacrifices could only cover the sin. It could never remove it, because it needed a man's sacrifice for mankind. Hallelujah. The fact is that the whole human race was on death row, justly condemned for repeatedly breaking God's holy law. Without Jesus, we would have no hope at all, because we could not. We could not, or we would not, be able to do it on our own. But thanks be to God, he has declared us not guilty once we accept his son. Jesus has given us the spirit of life. Hallelujah. Which is the Holy Spirit to empower us to do his will, and for his will to be manifested in our lives. Even though you accept Christ as your Savior, you don't have enough in you, enough good, you know, enough, what you could call that, willpower to just do what's right. That's why God allows his spirit to live in you. But you have to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, and you got to resist. You got to submit to the Holy Ghost, and you got to speak to the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is a person. The Holy Ghost loves for you to call his name. When y'all praying to the Father and the Son, don't leave the Holy Ghost out, because the Holy Ghost is the one that's inside of you, leading and guiding you to all righteousness and truth. He's your aid to help you to know and to do God's will. And there is no condemnation for our sins previously committed and those we will commit. And I want to tell you tonight, if you read the scripture, when you get down to almost the end of the verses in the 8th chapter, it talks about nothing shall separate us from the love of God. You know, that scripture said, you know, no heights, no depths, no things to come, no things present, you know, can separate us from the love of God. Once saved, always saved. There's another scripture where Jesus said the devil in hell can't pluck you out of our hands. And there's another scripture that I love so much where Jesus tells the Father, he said, every one of them that you gave me, I kept them. Every one that you gave me except one, Judas. So that's the scriptures you use to say once save, always save. He said, I kept them, Father. And see, you can't, you know, when you accept Christ, then God gives you to Christ because you accepted Christ. So Jesus told the Father, every one that you gave me, I kept them. Don't you know you being kept by Jesus Christ? We no longer have to live in fear, y'all. Uncertainty shaking in our boots. Disbelief of our eternal life. You know, when the scripture started off, it said those who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. You know, everything that the flesh produces is temporal. The flesh means the things on this, you know, this in this world. And we are taught we are in the world, but not of the world. But Jesus is saying all of that is temporal. We should set our sights on our eternal life. And so many people have tunnel visions just to be able to concentrate and think about what they could see right now. And that's not faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We have to keep our sights looking to Jesus and looking to our heavenly home, because this is not our home. Jesus paid the price, and all to him we owe. Jesus' death gave us victory. And Christ took the sting out of death. You know, there's a scripture, O death, where's thy victory? Jesus took the sting out of death. Do not think that you're doing good now to be saved, because Jesus made the way. But you should be doing good because of what he has done for you. You should want to serve him, to obey him, to love him, to trust him, and give God all the glory for what he has done, is doing, and promised to do in our lives, the glory that he rightly deserves. And give the glory to such an awesome God. Our life is a gift from God. What we do with it is a gift to God. And if we look at the last scripture, 6 through 9, and the scriptures reads as follows: for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. 7, because the carnal mind is entity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Come on, y'all. Neither indeed can be. They're talking about unsaved people if they totally carnal minded. A carnal mind. They're talking about the unsaved right here. They say could, because the carnal mind is enemies against God. For it is not subject to God's rules. If someone is not saved and ain't accepted Christ, they're not living by the Bible or the rules of God. That's not their concern. Number 8 say, so then they that are in the flesh, the unsaved, they don't have the spirit, cannot please God. And number 9 said, but we are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now, we do have flesh on our body, but the indwelling of the Holy Ghost is inside of us, so we do have the spirit. And if so, we that the spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. After I looked at them scriptures, I asked the question, can a Christian be carnal? a lot of times you ask that question and people will say, no, that's only the unbelievable. Christians can't be carnal. So I went a little bit further in answering the question. Let's first look at the definition of the term carnal. The word carnal means fleshly. The Bible describes carnal-minded as those who are mindful of the things of the world. And the world in the Bible is described as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So I looked at that, and then I found a scripture in 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. Here Paul speaks to Christians, the same Paul, but it's in a different book. He's speaking in this particular verse to the Corinthian church, the Corinthians, the people in Corinth, the Christians of that church. Paul speaks to the Christians this way. Now, some people will say, how you know he's talking to Christians? Because he called them brethren. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. So when he said brethren, he wasn't talking to unsaved people. He was talking to the believers. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. He's talking to the Christians, but he say, you know, I got to speak to you like you carnal. And you say, let's go on. Even as unto babes in Christ. Look what he said, number two. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for with hereto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now you able, for ye are yet carnal. Talking to the Christians. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, division. I guess he's saying acting like that. And then he goes on to say, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you doing these things. Carl, he said, you're saved, but you're acting carnal. Y'all know Christians that's dealing in envies and stripes and has division? I don't know about y'all, but I do. And I tell y'all all the time, I'm not perfect, but I am faithful. So when we look at this thing, carnal, carnality, you see, in this scripture, the Apostle Paul is talking to them as brethren, so we know he's talking to Christians. Therefore, we can conclude that Christian can be carnal. The Bible is absolutely clear that no one is sinless. You know, and many times we say we all fall short of the glory of God. And in 1 John 1:8, they say, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's purity word, y'all. 1 John 1:8. So you see, every time we sin, we are acting carnally. But we not, you know, teetotally, everything on our mind is world. And everything we do is not world, as some people do. They live in for the world. They live in the world. They enjoy the things of the world, and they don't want to accept Christ as our Savior, as their Savior. That's what separates us from them. They don't have the Spirit living inside of them. They are only made up of flesh, and there's no Spirit. And again, every time we commit a sin, we are acting carnal. You see, the natural man, unbelievers, know nothing about carnality. The desires of the flesh warn against the spirit, and the spirit warn against the flesh, which began at rebirth. When we became new, accepting Christ, we had a new birth. We were still wrapped in flesh, but we had a spirit. So it kept, there's a war going on. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I know it's real. Because Paul even said in one of his books, every time he, you know, tried to do good, evil was always present. He said, things that I hope I wouldn't do, I find myself doing, and the things that I know I need to do, I sometimes don't. Hallelujah. But we are pressing. We trying to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ. And we want to be better tomorrow than we are today. That should be our goal. Hallelujah. Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Another fact is noted that if you are not growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord, he was talking about they were still babes. It wasn't that they weren't Christians, but they weren't learning. They wasn't growing. You know, I could tell you as a fact, you know, I teach new members, and I could have a new member come to my church, not that they just was accepting Christ, but they could be just joining our church, and they have to still go to new members. And one of the questions I ask, are they saved? And plenty of times people say, well, I was saved, but I start doing the things of the world, and I turned my back on God, and I went and did my own thing. But now I'm ready to be saved again, and that's why I'm coming back to the church. If you was truly saved, you're still saved. And watch this. Jesus took away, he said, no condemnation, because he took away our sins. But you have to live with your consequences. See, there's already something in place here on earth to take care of sins. And your sins' consequences got to be taken care of here. Because they ain't going to have no sin on the other, you know, and when we go with Jesus. That should be your motive to do right. If you don't want to live with the consequences, rob a bank, you go to jail. While you're saved, you'll probably be in jail preaching the word of God. That's why they got so many jailhouse preachers. They were saved. They just committed sins, and they got caught, and the consequences brought them there. Be promiscuous in sex and catch AIDS. While you're saved, yeah, you could be saved. But now you got AIDS. And you're still saved. The consequences of our sins, we pay. The penalty of our sins, which is debt, Christ paid in full, once and for all. You know, if you want to know if you're growing in grace and the knowledge of your of God, you can ask yourself the questions. What do I spend most of my time doing? Am I satisfying the things of the flesh or the things of the spirit, which is, you know, of the flesh, which is rarely, or the spirit, which is of God? What do I do with my resources? Do I use them to promote kingdom building for God or things of this world, which is all temporal? Everything in this world is temporal because it will be dissolved. You know, or what you're doing with the gifts and the talent that has been given to you. And yes, everyone has been given. Do you use them to serve God and serve others? Or you use them for the world? And some people are not using them for anything. Remember, only what you do for Christ will last. Paul said that salvation is a gift from God for your beginning and your end. Follow this, y'all. Once we accept Christ, we started the sanctification process. That's the beginning. That puts us in position to receive everything that God has for us. As soon as we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Ghost, we became heirs and joint heirs, and we had all of the privileges. That was the beginning. And then it takes care of the end, that when we die, if we save, we're going to have eternal life. Salvation, the beginning, the end, the process. The end is completion. But I want you to know that there's a middle. And in the middle, sanctification and salvation is working all things out for you to live in this earth. But what happens in the middle depends on you. That's why when we see someone die, they have on their tomb, like their date of birth, 1954 to 2024. That's what's wrote on it. And they got a dash. So I think this is talking about that dash, what you did from when you came to when you left. But the middle dash I'm talking about is your part in the sanctification process that has been designed by God, the middle. And I want you to know how far and how fast you grow in the things of God depends on you. See, Paul was saying in his scriptures that some of them, he couldn't even give them the deep things of the world because they were still on meat. They couldn't eat the meat because they were still needed milk. That's what he was telling them. Y'all not mature for me to tell you what you need to know right now. There are so many Christians that still are babes. And the reason they are babes is not that God wants them to be babes. It's not that somebody is hiding from them, hiding something from them that they be babes. It's not that they can't go and learn about God and don't be babes. They babes because they're babes. And you have to ask yourself, are you still drinking milk or do you now can digest meat? You see, that is why each man will be judged for his own deeds. The scripture says each tub will stand on his own bottom. And your goal should be that God will be able to say, thy good and faithful servant, well done. Come and receive all that I have for you. And then you will know that your living was not in vain. That's our lesson for tonight. That's our lesson for tonight. And if anybody would like to add to it, anybody would like to receive prayer, anybody would like to give words of encouragement, anybody want to expound on a word, anybody have anything to say, you can press the one button on the phone. And I'll open the mic, and I'll let you say what you have to say. You may just want to say hello to the people in the Bible study class. Caller, your number is 904-609. I'm opening your mic, and your mic is on.
How you doing, Sister
Hello?
Diane? Thank you for the lesson. How
I'm
you
doing
Sister
fine.
Diane? Thank you for the
I'm
lesson.
I'm doing fine.
And look, I need prayer, but I'm going to give my prayer up for a friend of mine. His name is Michael Williams, and he's in the hospital. They gave him a certain time before he expired and everything, and I just want to pray for him. And he wanted to, he asked them, could he go home for his birthday? He'd been in the hospital for months, dealing with a heart situation. So he asked, could he go on his birthday, January 30th? So I want us to pray for him because God has the last word, you know. What the doctor say, what he say. But I want us to pray for him and, you know, pray for him to get better.
We
and,
could hear
you. Know, I just want us to pray for him. His name Michael
And you
Williams.
Started off. All right, we have Brother Michael Williams, but you started off saying you was going to give up your prayer for
but,
him.
But I mean,
no,
we're going to
pray for you as well.
All right.
There's enough to
exactly.
go around.
All
Everybody
right.
that acts, God save, shall receive. So,
and
your
I'm
brother,
asking,
Alex,
and I need
right?
it. Yes, I am.
All right. Anybody else would like to ask for prayer? Anyone else would like to ask for prayer? And you know, we said at the beginning of the year we was going to keep a little roster with names on it for people that we're going to pray for. And we have Michael Williams' name, and we have Brother Alex, and we had Sister McBride's children, and Derek, and all of them. Y'all got to keep up with that. God has given y'all something to pray for. Now, at this time, I would like to know if there's anyone that would lift up the prayer. Oh, we got some more callers. Caller, your number is 504-256. Your mic is open.
Hello, Sister Diane.
Hey, darling.
This is Pamela Mack. I want to say hello to everybody. Lesson on tonight was beautiful. Prayer request for Kathy and Jimmy Hartman, Alex Moore, and Stephen Wynn. And I have my other prayer list with Esther Lucas, Mary McMillan, Derek McBride, Mary Hodges, Gladys Phillips, and Cedric Will
Atwood.
Wow, I wasn't writing that fast. Wait, I'm going to let you say the name again since we're writing them down. I caught some of, you talking about Esther Lucas, 95 Blind Lady?
Yeah, I have that list that I still had, but I had added to it, so I was just calling out
okay,
the name.
Okay, tell us the name. Tell us the name.
Kathy and Jimmy Hartman.
All right.
Alex Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Wynn.
All right.
Esther Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Mary McMillan.
Come on now. You're rolling, dog. Listen, just stop and listen for a minute. Hold that and listen for me.
Uh-huh.
Derek
McBride. Stop it for a minute. Come on. Lean here. Put your hands there. Come on. For real.
Mary Hodges.
Come on now. It's mama.
Gladys Phillips.
All right.
And Cedric
All
Edwards.
Right.
And I have a special prayer request. Yeah. And I have another prayer request.
You like that song?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, baby. You go.
Go ahead and finish, Sister Diane.
So I say I understand what you're doing now. You've been compiling a list.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And that is so wonderful. So we, you know, because when you start saying these names, plenty of these people I know, and I was saying you know them and I know them, so that's how I understood.
Yeah, that's the list that you gave us not long. Yes, ma'am. And I have a special prayer request from a friend of mine I catch the bus with every morning. I don't know her name, but we've been talking on the bus going to work. But she asked me to pray for her family this morning. Her nephew committed suicide. He jumped off the bridge.
Oh, wow.
And he was 31 years old. I don't know his name, but she just asked me to pray for her family and pray for her sister.
Okay, we'll definitely do that. And I thank you so much, sister. And I'm telling you right now, you are now ordained to be the keeper of our prayer list. And every often we're going to recite the names, you know, and just ask God to bless them because you have an extensive list that you've been collecting because I know these names.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
If you would add the names for Michael Williams and Brother Alex to the list that you have and put your family, and you could put in reference to the guy on the bus, whenever we want to go to the throne of grace and call out our prayer list by name, I'm going to ask for you to press the one button, and you could call all of our people who wanted prayer. You could call them by name. So you take that assignment?
Yes, ma'am.
And
proudly.
And you're Pamela, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Calm down.
All right. I just want to thank you. God has put this on our heart to pray, and you kept a list. So, you know, I would pray that you take that job.
Yes, ma'am. Proudly.
And thank you so much.
Thank you, Sister Diane, for being there, for being leading us to the throne of grace every Wednesday night. Thank you so much.
And thank you.
No, you ain't fucking joking.
You hear it? Mama! You!
Come on, man. What's up, Chuck?
All righty. We have another caller, 35562. Your mic is open.
Yeah, hi, Sister Diane. This is Kathy Foxworth and Mr. Willie Foxworth. And I just want to say hello to everyone and to you. How you doing? And I'm asking for prayer for myself and the Foxworth family.
All right.
Okay, so thank you very much for your words of wisdom every Wednesday night. We really enjoy it.
Thank you so much, Kathy. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All righty. Is that it for tonight? We're going to go ahead out on prayer. And I want to thank Sister Pamela Mack for taking on the assignment to be, you know, keep up with our names that we need to pray for. Hallelujah. And I want to thank each and every one of you for calling, and we're going to go out in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for all that you allowed to happen in our lesson on tonight. Lord, I'm asking a special prayer for Brother Williams that the doctors had declared that he don't have that much to die. But right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I say we're going to believe the report of the Lord. And man can say one thing, but God is still in control. Lord, I also pray for Brother Alex that has asked for a blessing. Dear God, not that we know exactly what it is, but you do, and we call in his name out loud. Lord, I want to pray for the family where the young man committed suicide. Dear God, that family is going to need you at this time, and let them know that you have them, dear God. And I pray for Kathy and the Foxbury family, and thank God for Kathy, who takes care of her father, and thank God for family, dear God. She's asking for prayer for her family. She has brothers, dear God. Touch each and every one of them and keep them near, and let one don't fall from the other. And, Lord, I thank you, and I'm praying for the ones that didn't press the button for whatever reason and know they need prayer, dear God. And I'm asking that you look down upon them because you can search the heart. Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the lesson. I thank you for the people call in. I thank you, dear God, for being God all by yourself. Have your way with our lives, dear God, and let us submit unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us just allow the Holy Spirit to just lead and guide us, dear God. Thank you for Jesus that we are no longer condemned for our sins and we have escaped the death penalty. Thank you, dear God, for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's our lesson for tonight. I pray that God be with you until we meet again. And that's our lesson for tonight. Each and every one of you, be blessed and continue to trust in God. Good night.